Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
They sit down and he's like, watching you walk away was the hardest thing I ever had to watch.
Mentally, when he said that, I was like, have you not seen Schindler's List?
I know.
Probably
that,
not.
That was more my thought.
Do
I was
you think
like,
Colton's ever seen Schindler's List?
Honestly, no.
No.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
Last night on The Bachelor finale, part two, we saw a love story unlike any other. Colton's journey came to a surprising conclusion.
I mean, romance, passion, intimacy. The decision to just date instead of getting engaged at the end of the show, it was so romantic. It was really a bachelor first, a journey we all went on together.
Roll Tide.
And now, Air Supply.
But for real, we're not cutting to commercial break. We're not going to give any really drawn out toasts, although we could.
And maybe and we will later.
Maybe we will later or in, you know, future episodes. But here to talk about what the hell happened last night, we are joined by one of our very favorite guests, actress Erin Dark.
Hey, guys.
She's back. We begged her to come back.
Thank you for being here.
I'm so happy to talk about whatever happened last night.
It was a real grab bag. And as I hope you all remember, because it was 2 days ago, we left on a cliffhanger. Colton had just broken up with Tayshia and with Hannah G and was on his way to Cassie's suite to knock on her door and tell her that he wanted to fight for their relationship.
And then apparently that was just wrapped up in a nice little 10 minutes.
Emma thought the show was over.
I mean, no, it was like I wanted it to be over. I was like, wow,
she fooled herself.
I was like, this is a great ending. I'm on board. I love it. Let's like move on.
I definitely had a moment where I just like looked at the TV and I was like, there's so much left of this. What's going to happen?
I was like, I feel emotionally satisfied by this conclusion. And oh, look at the clock. There's just an hour and 50 minutes left to ruin it.
And they got close.
Yeah. So basically, Colton knocks on her door. He says, I didn't want it to end the way that it ended. I wanted to have another conversation. And she's like, great. And they go outside to talk.
And
on
she's,
a bench.
She's clearly like very confused and a little bit in shock that he's there.
But she can't be too in shock because there was already a camera in the room.
Right. I think so she had to someone was going
something
to talk to her.
Was happening.
But yeah. I think she did not expect him to come in and sit down with her, which he does.
I think that what she thought was happening, because we did see some of this footage, was that they were filming her talking about leaving the show.
Right, yeah.
So she was, like, packing up and being like, I'm really ready to move on. I'm excited to see my family. I hope Colton's happy out there. He's cool, I guess.
He's a man
that I'll always hope is really happy engaged to someone else. But instead he's there, like Hannah G expected would happen to her.
But he actually goes after bummer. Cassie. Yeah, poor Hannah G, poor Tayshia. I mean, they're fine. They looked great.
Yeah.
But Cassie joins Colton outside and he comments on her nice white shirt and boyfriend jeans, which seems to be her go-to look. Just a lot of white tees, white long-sleeve shirts.
Cassie's look is like mom jean chic. Like, it's the sort of thing where you see someone like Cassie wearing it, and you're like, yeah, I could pull that off.
You're like, yeah, normcore
and
is
it looks
a
so
thing.
Bad. If I wear a white crew neck long sleeve tee and loose jeans, no one is like, wow, girl, you look good. Yeah.
People are like, you look disheveled.
They're like, are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah, that's like when I like walk out and my boyfriend's like, cool outfit.
Yeah, so he really means it. He thinks she looks beautiful and everything because she does. They sit down and he's like, watching you walk away was the hardest thing I ever had to watch.
The hardest.
I'm sorry. I just started thinking about how people are always like, hate to see you go, but I love watching you walk away. And then I was like, why am I thinking about that right now?
See, I was like mentally when he said that, I was like, have you not seen Schindler's List?
I know.
Probably
that,
not.
That was more my thought.
Do
I
you
was
think
like,
Colton's
how many
ever seen Schindler's List?
Honestly, no.
No.
But he must have watched some sad movie, right?
I don't know. People on this particular season of The Bachelor, there are a few like very hard traumatic stories, but also a lot of offhand comments from various players that make me think that they have seen very few of the quite ordinary sad things that happen.
Right. Like breakups.
Like breakups.
Yeah.
Like Colton's dad was just like, how do we deal with this? Like, I don't even know what a breakup is. Like, I've never seen one. I've never been around one. Don't think Colton should have ever had to have one. So he tells her that he had to sacrifice and give up everything.
Which, by the way, just meant two other women.
Which meant two other women.
Yeah. He had to give up his sister wives to come after Cassie. But she does look genuinely shocked in this moment.
Yeah.
Like, she cannot. Yes. And this is not the person on this show who has trouble completing their sentences, usually. And she just has nothing to say at first.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. She is clearly very shocked and, like, covering her face a lot with her hands. She does seem to be smiling, but I can't tell
if
she's happy
smiling.
Or nervous. She's very hard to read, I think, because she has no idea what she's thinking herself.
Which she admits.
Yes. And he says, you know, Tayshia and Hannah were two women who would have given me everything I wanted, but they weren't right for him. And he just wants a second chance, not marriage, but just a second chance with Cassie to take it day by day and figure it out. I want everyone to remember how much he emphasized in this conversation that there would be no pressure and they would just be taking it day by
right.
day.
Which is why I was like, great, this is the end. How romantic. I love this.
Yeah. I mean, he keeps being like, relationships are... She's like, oh, I don't want you to give up the engagement at the end when other women can offer that because you would resent me down the line.
Which was a really fair point.
I thought that was a good point.
Yeah.
And he says, no, that's what a relationship is. It's compromise and sacrifice. That's what you do when you love somebody. Like, I'm not going to, like, hold that against you. And she asks if he's 100% sure. He says yes. And he says, you know, I did this to, like, show you that I really choose you, that I really love you. And I wanted you to see how much I would give up. And, like, there is something about this that was so refreshing that he was... The things that we often sort of wish were more on display on The Bachelor toward the end, he actually is showing. He's like, this isn't all on my terms. Relationships are a conversation about what both people actually want. I'm not here to, like, make an ultimatum. I thought that was nice.
I agree.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed this part. Some people did point out that, like, there was inevitably, just by virtue of the structure, an element of pressure. You know, they're on film. Is she going to reject him again? But I also don't want to discount her agency in this. And I think she did express pretty clearly in this conversation that, like, again, that she was not going to be able to give him the things that are usually prescriptive on a show like The Bachelor. And I found this part, again, I thought it, like, could have ended. I thought this was a really sweet moment. And also in the real world, just because someone wants to be with you and wants on, like, is willing on paper to do the things you want, if you don't want to be with them, then that's not going to work. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to me that Colton would want to go to Cassie and say one more time, this is the situation. I still have feelings for you. I still want a relationship with you, and I'm willing to meet you where you are. And that, to me, feels perfectly okay. Like, I don't take issue with him asking again.
Yeah.
No, because it didn't. It's not like he barged in and was like, I want you. You will do this.
I mean, there's something just so naughty about the gender dynamics of this show that makes it really hard to parse any conclusion. Because in a way, this conclusion is a sort of giving of power back to a female contestant and allowing her to set part of the terms of the relationship, rather than it having, you know, having her just waiting to be chosen.
Right.
But on the other hand, you know, there is that concern that, you know, being like worn down or chased by a man is also problematic. And it's true that we probably wouldn't see that happen if the genders were reversed, but also that partly would be because I think there's a lot of pressure from both, you know, more conservative ways of thinking and from more liberal ways of thinking that it's like that it shows a lack of self-respect for women to pursue a man who has not like chosen her.
Right.
I feel like it's very hard to untangle all these things because there isn't like an easy way to subvert. It's all knotted up in our societal patriarchal norms and expectations.
And it's a manufactured situation as well.
Yes.
Right, which complicates everything.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I kept watching. I was like, what do people want, really? Like, if your boyfriend breaks up with you because, you know, he heard you say once that you always wanted kids and he doesn't want kids, but you're like, I really don't feel that strongly about kids, and I'd rather give things another chance. Is it manipulative to go after him and say, like, let's have another conversation about this?
That's the thing. I think you're allowed at least one to two other conversations about it. If you go past that point, if a person has said no to you two to three times, then you keep going.
Then it crosses a line. It becomes a situation where you are truly not listening. Mm-hmm. But if you are willing to put yourself out there and understand that there is a possibility you could still not get what you want when you go and have that second or third conversation, then that's okay.
And the amount of crying that Colton did beforehand allows me to believe that he was not 100% confident it would work.
Yeah. I think he talked himself
into thinking. He was projecting confidence.
Right.
Yes.
But I don't think he actually was convinced. Which he shouldn't have been, because by the time she did leave, she sort of was saying, the right decision for me is to leave.
Yeah.
And that should have given him a lot of pause. I hope that it did. But her reaction to this whole conversation is sort of shocked, but also sort of happily surprised. And
she seemed to be excited that there was this other option that perhaps she hadn't considered opening up.
Yeah.
He broke the rules of this show. This is not a thing we've ever seen. So understandably, she didn't expect it.
I honestly couldn't tell, though, if she was, like, happy that he came back and was like, I'm willing to meet your terms, or if she was just like, holy shit, I'm so complimented by what you've
done.
Right.
Yeah, it was very hard. She was definitely flattered.
We know that. But I couldn't tell how much of it was either one. Like, having someone that into you, I'm sure, is a very compelling thing. And I couldn't tell how much of her being like, okay, let's move forward was.
It is certainly intoxicating when someone projects that much onto you. When you, like, you can feel really good and built up by another person.
Especially because Cassie seems to have this sort of porous sense of her own desires and, like, is easily infected by what she's hearing from other people.
Right.
So if she's hearing from her dad, it sounds like you're not really in love, she starts to be like, I guess I'm not really in love. And when she hears from Colton, like, what we have is so special that I gave up everything. These other two,
two women.
Now I have zero women in my life because of you. My mom's gone. I don't know what's happening. So she hears that and she starts to be like, what we have is special. And so usually we don't really see her like full-throatedly reacting to anything. We just see her sort of being like, is my mind being changed from what I thought it was made up as being before? Like, am I changing my mind right now? And eventually she, like, kisses him and is like, all right, I'm so confused. He's like, God, don't say that. But she's sort of like, okay, let's give it a shot, basically. He tells her that he wants her to meet his family, and they're waiting in Spain.
In Majorca.
Yeah, so she is going to go with him and meet the family.
Yep.
This I didn't realize was going to happen. I don't know why I didn't think it was going to happen.
I guess they would have already had the two final dates set up. They would have had all of these things that they were supposed to be filming that were cut short. So I guess they were like, well, we got to get something. Right. His family's already here.
In Majorca, yeah.
And they're expecting to meet two beautiful women.
And this is where the narrative started to take a turn that made me frustrated.
Right. So the next thing we hear from Chris Harrison is, will Colton's family ever be able to trust Cassie? Oh, and I was like, yeah, I think probably day could come when they could forget that she once broke up with their son, who she'd been dating along with 30 other women for 2 weeks. I think they might be able to forget that eventually.
I certainly hope so, or else that says something about them that isn't very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I do think this is why family should not be super involved in dating. I think that they can't let things go.
Sometimes, yeah, because they don't see any of, the good stuff.
Yeah.
They just are, worried parents.
Right. Yeah.
They hold grudges on your behalf
forever.
So we head to Majorca. No better place to be for the final chapter of Colton's journey.
I will say I was in Majorca just a few months ago, and it was
doing a little
beautiful
recon.
Yeah, I went there because I knew that, I hoped I would see Colton. That was why.
I think Majorca is where Love Island is filmed.
It is.
Yeah. Oh.
Also, weirdly, now that I'm thinking about the timing of this,
you probably
I
were
was
there.
In Majorca mere weeks before Colton.
I watched last night's episode with two people who had never watched The Bachelor before, and so there was
a real
a moment
crash course
after he introduced Majorca where my friend just went, "Is this scripted or does he really like Majorca this much?"
I mean, yes, it's scripted.
Yeah, it is scripted. But also,
he could also like it that much.
Yeah. It's stunning, and there are a lot of really crazy cliffs with insane vistas. Yeah.
But it's already turning into this narrative of, Colton being like, I can't wait for Cassie to fall in love with me. Could happen today, or at least definitely this week. It's coming. And it's Colton, you just convinced her to take it one day at a time, yesterday.
No, it's the second she was okay, I'll try again, I feel some for real white boy confidence came over him in a way that he was great, this is happening.
He's
she's 100% going to fall in love with me any second.
She'll be in love with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when I say this is where the narrative sort of frustrated me, that's what I was referring to. I thought what was so genuinely cool and romantic and different about the beginning of the episode is that it completely broke from this form where there is this enforced timeline and where there is an expectation that on the, that there should be a specific moment that if only you complete these steps, someone's feelings will turn from falling to in love. And as we've discussed a lot, that is not a real thing.
But he's back on schedule now. He's got Cassie back on the conveyor belt to love.
Yeah, now instead of an engagement, it's she better fall in love.
Yeah.
And understandably, this makes her nervous.
Yeah, well, it's so clear that as soon as he got back on the show, and she got back on the show, that the producers were in their ear again.
Oh, yeah.
You said you guys were going to take it day by day, but don't you really just, want to know if she's in love with you? When would you be ready to, need her? When do you feel like you'd need her to be in love with you? When do you think it might happen, though? And so he starts talking about the narrow Bachelor timeline again really fast. But first, they're meeting his family. And Colton bursts onto the patio to see them and shouts, "My family!"
My family.
Yeah.
I didn't even hear the "my." I just heard "family."
There's something between Colton and the Bachelorette, which we'll get to later. There sometimes is this feeling that the show is just getting distilled down to this futuristic parody of itself, where people are just women, family. objects that are part of the bachelor world that I'm pointing at. So he sits down with them and he shares that he is no longer a virgin. And then he pauses for like way too long.
So they're like, I guess it's not a joke. And they're like, cool. Yeah, we called it.
Connor thought that this would happen for sure. Congrats. And he's like, just kidding.
And they're like, okay.
Hilarious, son.
Terrible joke. Goof. I don't understand why he thought that was a joke.
He needs to remember that his family has not been privy to all of the virgin jokes.
They have literally no idea what's been happening with him for several months.
They're like, oh, we're still talking about the virgin stuff? I thought that was like a weird hometown thing, but we're still talking about it. Great. Wait until they see this. So he says, fantasy suites did change everything for me. You're expecting to meet two women, but there's only one because Cassie broke up with me and then I broke up with Tayshia and Hannah.
His mom's
now,
just
everyone's
like,
doing
oh,
the math here. How is there one woman left?
Yeah, they're all just, his mom's face is like, dear God.
He says, I went from 30 to zero and now to one. So much math on this season of The Bachelor. It's always the same math problem, but they need to redo it in infinite ways. So he tells them that Cassie is there. And his dad asks if he's falling for Cassie, and he says, oh, I'm in love with Cassie. And then admits that Cassie has not said that she is in love with him. But he hopes that she could be by the end of the week.
Yeah. So, I also felt like there was like some amazing moment where he was like, I love her. And they were like, does she love you? And he was like, nope, let's meet her. Like,
funny you should ask
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, funny
she
you should
certainly
ask.
Does not.
Yeah, like...
It did strike me like Colton is someone that falls very quickly and very hard for people. Like his parents seem to be like.
He does say that later too.
Oh, well, I guess that's true. His parents seem to be like, we've been here before.
Like, but it's also like he's 26. It seems like he had one really rough breakup.
With Ali Raisman.
That is par for the course, buddy. Like,
very true.
Everyone's like, oh, my God, this crazy thing happened to Colton where he's 26 and he's been dumped by one woman. And no parent should have to see their child go through something.
You're
like
actually,
that.
All parents are going to see their child have their heart broken.
Yeah, and it also feels like everyone has total amnesia about the existence of Tia and him having also dumped someone who loved him and he didn't
and
love them
also,
back.
He literally just dumped Hannah and Tayshia.
Yeah, I don't.
He should only get to do it to people. It should not happen to him.
Yeah, it should not ever happen to him.
So Cassie shows up. Jittery as hell. She is vibrating out of her skin. Yeah. I was worried about her. She's so nervous that Colton, like, sits her down to calm down before she goes in. She's, like, crying. She's saying, I don't want to let your parents down. This isn't what they expected. I want to tell them. She says, I want to tell them things that they'll want to hear. She's
like
such a
pleaser. She loves him.
I know. It's crazy to me that she hasn't said that she loves Colton because she's clearly such a pleaser. It's very difficult for her to not say the things that make whoever she's talking to happy. And she's also like, I don't think that Colton knows how hard it is to explain to someone's family that you're not there yet. And I was like, Cassie, you were there for hometowns when he just asked four women's dads for permission to propose. Yeah. So I think he kind of knows about that. Not that that's a virtue, but
no.
He knows.
But honestly, after hearing his intro speech to his family, I felt bad for her having to walk in there.
Yeah. No, I felt really bad for her. And they were not super welcoming. So she walks in and sits down. They show her hugging. The editing is also built to make it seem as awkward as possible because they show her hugging every person in the circle where normally they would cut in and out a little bit with some music.
Right.
It's like her going in a circle hugging. and then she sits down and starts talking with the whole family together.
It also struck me here that it just would have been, like, really nice of the producers to let them have, like, I don't know, just one other, like, conversation or date before they walked in. Because it was, like, his family kept being like, so tell us about this. And they had to be like, well, we haven't really talked about that yet. Like,
his dad asks right away if they've had another date since they had that conversation, and they say no. They haven't defined their relationship. They don't know what they're doing. She knows that there's a commitment at the end, and she didn't want to take that away from Colton because she knows that he wanted that. And she knows she's not living up to the expectations they have. And then they all just kind of, like, stare at her. Yeah. And then Colton's mom is like, Colton, can we talk? Like, poor Cassie.
Poor Cassie. I was glad, though, that she said, like, I tried to offer him an out. Like, I knew that he wanted this thing, and I was honest with him that I wasn't there yet. And, like, then she was quite honest with the family. Like, I was glad she didn't just bend to what she knew they were expecting, given, again, as you pointed out, that she is a bit malleable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she is very strong.
It's just so uncomfortable to watch, like, what, 15, 20 minutes of a woman tell a dude's family, like, I'm just not there yet.
Which also, they've been dating for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So that seems fine.
Yeah.
And look,
they're
people
also, like,
move
23 and 26. It's totally okay to not get engaged after 7 to 8 weeks.
Or also to not know if you're in love with someone.
Yeah.
And often in relationships, one person reaches a point where they feel they can say that before another person. And you have to negotiate that. Like, this is not a thing that, like, never happens.
No, I mean, I don't know if the disparity is usually that.
It feels quite
as intense as it is here.
It feels intense because of all that. Like, I feel like often what happens is maybe the guy in Colton's position or the person in Colton's position would be feeling things out.
Right.
By not saying, I love you, but by saying, you know, I really like you. I like you so much. I love being around you. And then, like,
or like, I'm falling for you. Like, I feel like that's what you say when you are actually in love with someone, but not ready to, like, say
that phase, Erin. There's been a lot of falling.
I know, but what I'm saying is that there is, like, a feeling out period. And if he feels like she's not going to say it back yet, he doesn't say it. Like, I feel like that's usually how couples try to align their thing so that you're not just tossing out, like, an, oh, by the way, I love you. What? You don't love me? Could it happen in the next 2 weeks? Because otherwise this isn't going to work. Like, everyone wants to avoid that, ideally.
Ideally.
But his hand was forced by the fact that she decided to leave so that he could fall in love with someone else. So here we are. So Colton's mom talks to Colton and basically says, I don't want you to get set up for heartbreak. I'm worried a little bit by what's happened with Cassie. And he's like, I think about Cassie first thing when I wake up and the last thing before I go to bed.
You can just see his mom be like, oh, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You seem ahead of her.
She says, I hope it's reciprocated. I mean, also, I believe that Colton, I really do, not everyone does, I believe that Colton loves Cassie, but the way he talks about it reminds me of high schoolers sometimes. It's like, I missed him as soon as he dropped me off at band practice. It's like, okay, like, that's not actually what, that's like infatuation maybe.
But I do believe that Colton.
No,
I
me
believe
too.
Him.
I believe him. I just like watching his parents hear him talk about it. They're sort of like, oh, buddy.
I know. You get the sense of them being like, we want to support you, but also like, ooh.
Yeah. Colton's dad sits down with Cassie and is like, you must be very special to be here because when he loves, he really loves someone. And she says, that makes me nervous. I want him to be with someone who's insanely in love with him. And
implication being,
it is not me.
It is not me.
Not me.
His dad is like, okay, then. She says, you know, of course I love him. I care about him. But I'm looking for clarity about whether this would work still. There's no reason it shouldn't work. I don't know. Just looking for clarity, basically. And his dad is left very worried by this and that Colton doesn't have a backup plan, which who among us usually has a backup plan? I guess his dad is like, I wish he still had Hannah G in his back pocket here, but he doesn't.
I'm like, usually the backup plan is like, get back on Bumble.
Yeah, pretty much. But Colton deserves better than that.
He deserves a backup plan, obviously.
Yeah. So then Colton's mom talks to Cassie. Who says, you know, the pressure to make a decision was what caused her to leave the show. And she says, you know, Colton and I are on different pages a little bit. He's a step ahead of me, and I don't know why. Really reassuring everyone here. Colton's dad asked Colton if he's second-guessing his decision. He's like, no, all I know is when I'm around Cassie, I feel great. Yet again, something that Colton says about what love is that makes me question whether he knows what love is. However, it is nice to feel good around the person that you're dating, and I support that. Colton, his dad asks if his reaction to Cassie leaving was about wanting what he can't have.
Valid question.
Colton doesn't think so.
He's very certain that it's not.
He's so certain in a way that I feel like only a 26-year-old white boy can be about literally anything in life.
I was like, I have never been so certain about any decision I've made. Like my outfit choice.
Yeah, like what I had for breakfast today, I was less certain. I spent more time questioning at the fridge door than Colton did for most of this episode.
So this is interesting to me. I had like a guy friend who was, you know, mid-20s, white guy at the time. And we were talking about dating, and he was like, you know, my girlfriend is so great. Like, she's beautiful, like, smart. I think she's so wonderful. But I don't know if she's the one. And I was like, I don't even know what that feels like. Like, I feel like either I'm dating you because I'm absolutely sure that I want to marry you, or we break up. Like, I don't know what it's like to not be sure about someone I'm dating. And he was like, it just feels like you're figuring it out still. And I was like, oh, I guess that I'm just, like, much more sure about these things. Or, like, I have a tendency to, like, lean into my positivity about stuff. Whereas I do feel like a lot of guys actually don't, because they're, like, there are a lot of good options out there.
He's like, that could actually be a different
beautiful, smart girl out there for me.
That's actually true. I feel like when I am dating someone, I'm so exhausted by dating that I'm like,
this is definitely better.
I fucking hope that this just works out. Like,
yeah, I thought Colton's certainty was actually, it actually kind of surprised me. I feel like we often see bachelors be a little bit more like, should I go with the hot blonde or the slightly
hot brunette? Maybe that's what I think. I don't think that Colton necessarily wanted Cassie because she was the one that like said no. But I think some of his certainty about how much he wants her, is because
said yesterday. Basically.
Yeah, like
he's like the moment I realized how much I needed to go after her and wanted to be with her.
But also it's not about wanting what he couldn't have, but it is about how he felt when she walked away from him. Two different things.
I mean, maybe both valid. I don't know. I just can't trust it.
Yeah.
I just found it really hard. I just, the whole, like, every time he was like, I'm 100% certain I'm in love with this girl. And then she was like, I mean, I just want him to find someone who loves him.
Anyone who's out there.
I believed all of them.
Yeah.
I was like, everyone's kind of right here.
Yeah. Like, relationships are complicated.
Relationships are complicated.
That's the thing. I don't distrust either of them. I just distrust that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I distrust the future.
Right.
And yet, that's dating, and often people break up. And I found it so funny that the way his parents seemed to be talking about things, it was like, well, if she had stayed till the end and then accepted a ring, they never could have broken up. He never could have had his heart broken. I'm like, most of these couples end up breaking up. This is just a more honest discussion in front of the cameras.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, there's no certainty if you... And look, even if you get married to someone,
you
that's
could
not
still
a guarantee
break up.
That something won't happen and you will not... You will be heart... Like, you will never be heartbroken in the future. There are no guarantees.
Yeah. I think that his parents are just not... They don't seem, like, to know how to handle their son being, like, out in the world. But, like... What can you do? Like, it's hard to watch your kids suffer, but it's just so weird, like, how they kept being like, we don't know what to do when he's sad. We don't know. Like, what do you do?
His dad cried.
I'm a sucker for a dad cry. I love it. And you could see that that's, like, Colton is actually quite comfortable with expressing his emotions and with crying. And I'm like, okay, he grew up in a household where, like, men cried, and that was okay. And I like that.
I like that. No, I'm a total sucker for a dad cry.
Yeah, it was a very nice conversation. And this is when Colton says that he makes his decisions hard and fast and about love. And Cassie needs to take things slow and soft, I guess.
Hopefully not too soft.
But a bunch.
So, and Colton says his dad was with him every day through the breakup. I think this is part of it. Like, when I went through a breakup, my family was, like, not there every day. I feel like if they were there every day, it would be very traumatic. Like, you want your family to be there, but, like, to watch someone you love so much suffer that much every day.
Yeah,
it's almost like give each other a little bit of space.
Right. It seemed like perhaps they were maybe he was living with family or just around or very close to them at the time.
And Blake said the same thing about his mom.
Right. I mean, I have never had that experience because all of my, you know, traumatic breakups after like when I was 15, I was not living in the same state as my family.
Yeah.
So
they're sheltered a little bit from our pain when they're that far away.
They just get snippets.
Exactly. Who's to say what the right way is? It's just different. So Colton puts Cassie in a van and says goodbye. She holds his heart in her hands, he says.
A lot of pressure, especially because she seems like she's holding it. And she's like, I don't know. Is there like a plate that I could set this down on while I figure out whether I want it?
Pack it on ice.
Just leaving this with me. I thought maybe.
Oh,
okay.
No, I just like maybe you should hold on to it and I'll come get it later.
I don't want
to
like, lose it.
Yeah. Like...
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from night two of The Bachelor finale and after the final rose. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
I am so glad that it's finally warming up. And it also means that I just want to have fun this summer and I don't want to be worrying about meal prep. And luckily, I can do something about that with Factor, especially because they have so many meal options like protein plus, keto, vegetarian, something for every diet.
Their fresh, never frozen meals are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals.
With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week, you'll always have new flavors to explore.
Make your whole day delicious. From breakfast to dessert, stay fueled with easy, nutritious options.
I love having a few Factor meals just sitting in my fridge, especially because I work from home. It's so nice to finish up a taping and not have to figure out what to cook myself. Just look in my fridge and be like, oh, in 2 minutes, I can be eating mushroom chicken thighs and wild rice or tomato basil chicken risotto or Santa Fe style green chili beef skillet. And they always have a nice like vegetable side. It feels well balanced. I feel full after, and it's not a headache at all.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees.
Oh, I'm so happy the weather is finally turning. If you, like me, have been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune, then Quince is for you. You can build up a lineup of timeless pieces that will keep you looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings right on to you.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, as well as premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince for all these staples. I mean, linen is my favorite summer fabric. They have so many amazing linen staples. I also found my new go-to, like, summer running around to the playground in the coffee shop bag. It's the pebbled Italian leather front sling bag. I can just fit a wallet and my phone and my AirPods in it, maybe some lip balm. Absolutely perfect. I'm so obsessed with it. And the price was exactly what I wanted to.
Get warm weather ready with Quince.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/LTSI. Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some pretty delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, hi Tyler Cameron, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
Plus, they're dedicated to really thoughtful craftsmanship that honestly stands the test of time and looks good doing it.
Article offers fast, affordable shipping across the U.S. and Canada. Plus, they won't leave you waiting around. You pick the delivery time and they'll send you updates every step of the way.
I have long been an Article girly, like every room of my house. My apartment, you can see Article furniture in. Most recently, we updated our balcony, you know, just in time. It's finally balcony season again, finally warming up in New York. And I have been out there with my coffee, sitting in the Toady Beach Sand dining chair, which is a great little lounger for a small space, again, New York City apartment. And it just really, like, elevates our deck. That and the ottoman we bought to go with it. So comfortable, so chic. Also can withstand a whole lot of rain.
So important. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
They're having their Memorial Day sale from May 13th to May 27th, which would be the perfect time to use your store credit on top of sale prices.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list, as they should, because it's very important.
If that's you, then make this year the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Wow, that is really fast. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I personally used Babbel before I headed off to Paris for 3 weeks, and it was so helpful, just kind of giving me back the basic understanding of French, allowing me to interact with people in restaurants, in shops, and, you know, just not make a total fool of myself when in a foreign country.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners.
Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled Babbel.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
So now they get their fantasy date the next day, presumably. They get in a car. They are driving through town. Such a pretty town.
Again.
They're like, if you could play any song right now, what would it be? Because that's what they have to do instead of playing music because of
copyright,
I guess.
They should have played Air Supply.
They should have. They have the rights to that song. They stop and get off at a cliff. Cassie is being like, today is about figuring it out once and for all. What happened to taking it day by day?
Got off that train real quickly.
Real quick. Day one, let's take it day by day. Day two, decide immediately. Colton's like, there's a picnic for us, but it's down there.
So the producers have decided to lean into that thing that there has been actual research on where, like, when you put
adrenaline.
Two people, in a really high adrenaline situation, you can fool them into thinking they love each
other. They're basically giving Cassie's chemistry with Colton, like, electroshock therapy.
Yeah,
it's like, let's jolt Cassie into feeling some...
Repel down this terrifying cliff, and when you reach the bottom, love.
Picnic.
Yeah. And love. A love picnic.
Or just a picnic for Cassie. Yeah. We're not sure yet.
So they rappel down.
Which does look terrifying.
It does.
It looks like a very steep cliff.
I've gone rock climbing where someone else, like, has the rope and rappels you down.
Right.
But, like, rappelling myself down does look a little bit terrifying.
Yeah, I've been rappelling as well. But, like, that was a very long way down. It looked very steep.
I'm also such a wimp. Like, every time that they, like, twisted a little bit, I was like, oh, I would definitely just accidentally lose my footing and just bash my body into the rocks. And, like, that's not going to kill you. But I was like, oh, I get a scrape. It'll hurt. I wouldn't like that. But they make it down safely.
To their picnic.
Colton's like, this is terrifying. I'm in love with Cassie, but there is no safety net. That's definitely not a quote about rappelling. So he's like, I know we're taking it day by day, but... I need to know where she's at, and it needs to be in love with me very soon. So they sit down for their picnic, and he's like, what concerns do you have about dating me? And she's like, basically, just being in a relationship at all, because I dated someone in college, and he was, like, really controlling.
Which was really sad, and also, obviously, speaking about the person that she filmed two seasons of a reality show with.
Right.
And apparently the entire, like, storyline of the second season, I watched one episode, was this guy trying to convince her to take him back. And so I can imagine how that would kind of fuck with you trusting yourself if someone is constantly trying to, like, erode your conviction that you don't want to be with them. I could see her drawing parallels to this.
100% get that. But if your thing is, I'm not sure I'm ready to be in a relationship,
why did you
maybe
go on The Bachelor?
The Bachelor is not the place to go.
I will admit, that was my other thought.
Yeah.
I do
because,
wonder.
Because, like, before she got into the controlling thing, she just said, like, it's not that I'm, like, scared about being in a relationship with you. It's that I'm just, like, scared about being in a serious relationship. And at that point, you're just like, you know what you're on, right?
Also, like, also, it was a little funny when you consider that she was, like, so emphatic when Kirpa was like, maybe you're not ready to get married.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, but I am. Or am I? Actually, I'm not even ready to date when you think about it. I mean, it was interesting. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt on this because...
Absolutely.
Because it sucks to be in a bad relationship that messes with you. And I'm like, maybe she applied a while ago. Maybe she felt like she just needed to move on. And then once – I think The Bachelor, you might not anticipate it, but I think it would really bring out a lot of those fears because the structure of it is so controlling and stifling. And it is held up as being sort of like the equivalent of the relationship. And then so you identify the relationship with Colton with The Bachelor, which is this thing that's, like, telling you what you can and can't do, and it's controlling your movements, and, like, you're surrounded by cameras that are watching your every move. I feel like it would bring out a lot of doubts about, you know, what you want.
The stifling nature of a relationship in general.
And she's like, I just think of relationships as stifling and a place where you can't be yourself anymore.
It also was genuinely interesting to hear her talk about this because we haven't heard – that much from her on their dates about her relationship history, about how she thinks about relationships and love, which is kind of the only thing they're usually allowed to talk about.
I know, that's
the
thing. I realized watching this episode that I was like, I know actually next to nothing about Cassie.
Yeah. Yeah, we know very little about her. We know that she went to Biola, right? Was she one of the
Biola girls?
Yes.
And she surfs?
She surfs.
She surfs, and she was on another reality show.
Right.
Those are the things I know.
She's close with her family.
Yeah.
Yeah. And isn't her sister like an Instagram star?
Or her sister is an actress who dates a much more famous actor.
Oh, okay.
So.
I mean, yeah. I will admit, like, the...
She's like a Hallmark movie
The pessimist actress. Side of me is, like, I think maybe Cassie signed up for The Bachelor to, like, get some more Instagram followers and then maybe didn't plan on this happening.
Oh, I think totally think that's
every single
happened.
Person yeah. signs yeah. up for the show because you... And I...
No, sometimes I think there are girls who still sign up for love.
Yeah.
I think often they're like, I hope that, you know, maybe I'll like the person. But I think most of the people who sign up at this point are like, this will be a weird experience. Mm-hmm. I'll get some more exposure. I'll probably only make it a few episodes. Like, they don't know what it's going to be like. And also, if you're not stupid, you realize that the odds are very much right. not in your favor
it's
to end
like
up with someone.
Signing up for Tinder, you probably won't meet a great husband that way, but you also won't get any new Instagram followers out of it. So it's like, you might as well go on The Bachelor.
Exactly.
At least you'll get one.
There's other perks.
Especially if you're white and especially if you're blonde. So she has now kind of like laid out a little bit more of what is actually holding her back. And Colton like stares sadly at her for a while. And finally she's like, stop. Like, what are you doing? And he's like, look, relationships are about compromise. I want you to have hobbies.
So generous.
I know. And he's like, I'll have hobbies. I want you to, like, live your life. You can go on a girl's week and I'll go on a guy's week. So I guess they have to coordinate their vacations. I don't know. Like, it was pretty much the right answer. Yeah. I just love that he led with, I want you to have hobbies. Like, that's the first thing that your controlling boyfriend will take away
just
from
like,
you.
Like, stop taking that pottery
yeah.
class.
No more knitting.
Crafting.
Yeah. When you're in this home, I don't want your fingers to touch those knitting needles. Yeah. You will look
no
at me.
No more intramural soccer for you.
I mean, I'm sure it gets to that, but
but it was, I did appreciate that he wanted to reassure her that yeah. he wasn't looking for a relationship in which, you know, he had a say in every part of her life or that she didn't have any sort of independence.
I mean, I also think, like, it's hard to know chicken and egg here because yeah. we just met Cassie. That if she's someone who is unsure how to set boundaries for herself,
right.
that it's very easy to become stifled by a relationship because you perhaps unintentionally mold yourself to what you think your partner wants and you make decisions based on putting your partner first. And even if they aren't necessarily enforcing that, you might end up in a relationship that's really stifling just because you started out trying to be the right person for them.
Yeah. And also, like, at 23, I feel like a lot of people have done that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially a lot of, like, women I know, including myself.
Exactly. It's very normal. And, like, it's possible that she had a boyfriend who was actively kind of controlling her and that led to her becoming more doubtful of her own feelings. But it also could be partly the other way. But either way, like, she clearly needs a relationship next where she is not really under pressure to meet certain expectations for behavior or hobbies. and Colton is like, I want you to be yourself. So good day date, made some progress, dinner date. He toasts to Cassie. He looks so happy. He's like, what a great day. And she basically is like, I feel like more myself going into tonight. I feel more confident because you taught me what a good relationship looks like. Hobbies.
Yeah.
I guess.
Allowing each other hobbies.
It's a start. And so she's like, I want to be all in if we do this. And he's like, great. What's this under my placemat? It's a fantasy suite card. And she says, yeah, let's do it. And so they head to the fantasy suite. This was a scene, a fantasy suite scene that I've never seen before. They sort of get on the bed, they start making out, and then he's like, I've always been waiting for the right heart and the right person, basically to lose my virginity, and I'm hopeful that person is Cassie. And then he, like, springs up, like, grinning, heads out of the inner room, looks at all the camera people and producers, and is like, I love you. I love you. I love all of you people.
But there's a door.
And I'm going to need you all to leave.
I thought that was kind of cute.
And then they all, like, are, like, laughing and heading out, and he and Cassie are like, bye. And then they close the door, and then they're like, our mics are still on.
Okay, but here's the moment. As a person who's worn a lot of lav mics, I was like, why do you need someone to take that off you?
Right.
There's no place they can put a microphone on you where you shouldn't be able to take it off of yourself.
Up the butt.
I guess they wanted the mics out of the room, away.
No, yeah, but then you just take them off and hand them out. Yeah. And so we got a shot of, like, Colton, like, unbuttoning his shirt so someone else could untape a microphone.
We need to see him unbutton his shirt.
I've seen enough people storm off of talk shows to know that you can take your
rip it right off.
I mean,
that is a very fair point.
I was watching with, like, several other actors, and we were all like, you can take those off yourself.
But they're always on the show. They're always, like, producers taking their mics off for them. Like, they're
maybe they don't trust them with the expensive equipment.
Like, maybe they train them not to, like, they're like, don't touch it, you could break it. I don't know.
Or maybe they're like, we need this to be out of the suite or otherwise it might pick something up.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You just take it off and then hand it out.
Throw it at them.
Yeah, I just was so weirded. I just was like, I think just because I, like, have a lot of experience in that area. Taken so many mics off myself.
But I'm like the independent woman you are.
Yeah, like the independent woman I am. That when they came out and they were like, we need you to take these off of us. I was like, wait, did they, like, super glue them
to
your
perhaps,
body?
Honestly. I don't.
If you don't need a man to take your mic off, then you don't need to go on The Bachelor. That's for sure.
And Colton does need a man to take his mic off.
So they get their mics taken off, and then the sound guy's like, good luck, guys. Everyone is grinning in this really knowing way, including Colton and Cassie. I felt very weird about it.
But I felt weirder about Chris Harrison's reaction to all of this.
Yeah, so then we have, like, a tension-building interstitial panel between the closing of the door and the opening of the door in the morning. Chris is on stage with Ben Higgins, Jason, Chris Randone, Demi, Onyeka, and Sydney. Of course, all of Colton's.
All the people who need to weigh in on whether they fucked. The most important question. Very consequential.
Yeah. I would like to note that Demi says, I hope Colton jumps on Cassie like a Portuguese fence, and everyone, like, laughs and applauds. And then Onyeka says, I hope he doesn't come up short. And it's, like, dead silence, and everyone groans. And I was like,
those
I'm uncomfortable with the disparity between the reaction to these jokes.
Like, you're like, these are both also, like, fairly innocuous.
Like, fairly innocuous, like, double entendres or, like, innuendos. And, like, examine yourselves, people in the audience.
Well, yeah, we need to ask that for many reasons. But also, this panel just felt so weird. Like, why are we still... We get it. He's a virgin. Maybe he won't be at some point. Who cares?
I also... Especially, like, after, like, the, like, emotional roller coaster
that
like,
was the compelling
last,
thing.
Like, three episodes of this show had been on, by the time it got there, I was like, I really, truly, honestly don't care.
I do not care one iota.
Like, I didn't really ever care about him losing his virginity,
but now,
but especially now, I really don't care.
Apparently, some people on Twitter were upset that we don't find out for sure. Which,
well,
like,
we do find out for sure.
I mean, it's like,
also, we're not entitled to details about Colton's sex life.
That's what I'm saying. We're
not
entitled.
I will say, I do think, like, if you're going to be that open about being a virgin, then refusing to talk about having sex makes it feel like there's something shameful about having sex. It just felt weird to me.
I feel like it's weird to, like, track the exact night.
Oh, I didn't need to know an exact night.
But that's what this whole thing was about. It was like, did you have sex in the fantasy suite, Colton? Did you? Did you? What position were you in? Like, how many times did you do it?
Did,
like,
you do that other thing too?
Like, it just felt like this weird prurience that is filtered through this fake sort of chaste veil of, like, we're not going to watch them have sex, but we are going to, like,
expect that they will give us details of it.
Right. We're gonna get as close as we can on national primetime television. I mean, we basically know what happened. But so morning after, Colton rinsing off in the shower.
I mean, it had been a while. He's got a shower. The man loves a shower.
It really had only been since the women tell all.
Well, Aaron, he needs to shower like several times a day.
I mean, who among us
doesn't? With cameras in the room.
I want them to keep the cameras in the bathroom the rest of the time. Like, Colton's taking a piss. Colton is popping his zit. So he's, you know, his voiceover is saying, you know, last night with Cassie was incredible.
He's a new man.
Yep.
We did what was best for our relationship and we grew as a couple. And a producer in his In the Moment asked him to sort of elaborate. And he says, a gentleman never kisses and tells, which I think we all know is a gentleman's way of saying we did it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would just say no. But a gentleman says a gentleman never tells, in order to let you all know that there's something to deny. But then he does say, I'm really happy you can use your imagination.
Like, I would rather not.
Colton just invited all of us to imagine.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I would have rather, if he had just said, yes, I don't want to talk about it anymore, I would have preferred that so much to being told to use my imagination.
I felt like I'd been implicated in a sex thing. Yeah. I was like, I'm part of this now. This is their kink. I mean, I wish that he had just been like, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Like, this Cassie and I have a relationship now, and like, my virginity is
not relevant.
Not up for, you know, it's relevant to her now, and so I can't talk about it.
Which is sort of what he says later after the final rose,
and that's sort of what Ashley.
That's what
I
Ashley,
said.
And, yeah,
and I feel like that's just the right
Kevin
of
Kevin did.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I also like.
It's not Cassie's fault that he turned his virginity into a huge plot point.
No, but I also don't think there's anything wrong about two adults in a relationship, openly acknowledging that they
have sex.
I
don't either, but Cassie is from a really conservative religious community, and that she is being pressured and that Colton is being pressured to reveal that she had sex.
I guess I
basically
did not.
On TV.
Right.
Right, because she said that even admitting that she had had premarital sex would make some people in her community judge her.
I mean, she goes.
I feel like I had missed that. So I was just why are we all being so coy about it now? But
she
that
went
makes
to, like,
more sense.
A really conservative Bible college. I mean, it's look, if they were different people, like when Nick Vile talked about it, I was like pretty cool with it. I mean, I generally don't want to be invited to imagine people's sex lives in too much detail, but like it's not shameful, but like I don't think that anyone should be pressured to have that kind of conversation. And it's weird that now she's involved in this because of Colton really leaning into that plot point this whole season, which was a choice. I don't know. So their vibe together that morning, what did you guys think about it? Him and Cassie. They're kind of like having breakfast in bed.
They seemed sweet.
It was sweet.
Like it
was very subdued.
It seemed calm.
Yeah. I couldn't read it. I found it unreadable.
Well, this is my problem with Cassie in general, is that I can't read her in basically any situation.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I can't tell if she's withdrawn into herself because she feels deep sorrow, or if she's just like, I'm so at peace and feel so intimate that
I think
I'm just
I was
totally
not paying
relaxed.
Close enough attention, to be honest. I was like, I need a snack at this point.
And, like, he picks up, like, a garment of some sort and is like, you didn't wear this last night,
yeah,
sort of thing.
A robe?
There were a lot of very weird, like, zoom in on her heels. I'm like, yes, she took her shoes off to go to bed.
That's just an international, like, stock image symbol for slut right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Chris is like, I think that answered some of our questions. Or did it?
God. He's like, we're going to ask it again a few more times. Did they do it? We're still wondering. Continue to use your imagination. And I feel like everyone is like, please no.
Yeah, we're
please
all like,
stop.
Please stop.
Can we move on?
So Colton and Cassie are out on the hot seat as a couple. This whole arc confused me. It's like they have a sort of good conclusion to the show at the beginning. And then they're like, but let's keep going. And so they keep going. And then I'm like, so are they going to try to do proposal day again? And then they don't. So then they just stop the morning of the fantasy suite.
But they definitely at some point in the season teased a scene where Colton had a ring box.
An empty
ring box. And it looked like a proposal setting. But it looked like
finally they filmed something they didn't use.
That they never ended up using. But now I'm mad about it because it means that I can't trust any tease ever because now I know that they will just make
it. You're just realizing this?
No, I know that. But usually they just like edit it or present it wrong. This is the first time I remember seeing something where I'm like,
they've
you
done that
straight
before.
Up put in something that was not in the show.
They've done it before.
Have they?
Yeah. I can't remember an exact example, but I know it's happened
before. I
think
I maybe pay attention more now because I know I'm going to have to talk to you guys.
It's always one of those things when like the next day we're like, oh right, that thing never happened.
Yeah.
Because it is hard to keep track unless it's like the fence jump and they're constantly showing it, then everyone
then we
would
remember.
But there's often like just one little thing where you're like, wait, where was that from? It never happened. But the proposal thing, that was kind of a big thing.
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
That there was no proposal scene. Anyway, they're not engaged, but Chris asks how they're doing and they're like super in love. I mean, she looks really smiley.
She
I
looked
loved
like a different
her jumpsuit.
They
I loved
all
her
do
haircut.
When they came out.
She looked great.
I just didn't think she looked like the same person. I thought she looked great. I thought they both looked equally great, but I like almost didn't recognize her.
Maybe
and I couldn't
it's all
figure
the
out
smiling.
Why.
She did seem happier and more relaxed.
I also think she was wearing like more. It's not like she wore a lot of makeup on the show, but it was like more eye makeup. I don't know. Yeah. I couldn't explain it. She walked out, and I was like,
she has a very natural look normally.
Yeah,
it's also the difference
she was like very
between
made up.
Doing your own makeup, and then when you're on the live after show, they do hair
they
and
do
makeup. Hair
Whenever
makeup.
Anyone does my makeup for me, they turn my mouth into a different shape, and I don't recognize myself. It's the weirdest thing. They're like, I'm just gonna draw on a better mouth because this mouth sucks.
I have also had that happen. But then you, like, accidentally wipe part of it off later, and you're like, oh, no, now I just have a weird clown mouth.
Or you see a photo, and you're like, who is that?
Yeah. I made them redo my wedding lipstick and made us late for the wedding because I was like, you drew a larger mouth on top of my mouth, and, like, no one's going to know who I am. So they're like, we're just enjoying dating, like, but maybe we'll get engaged. We both are down, but, like, not right now.
And Chris is like, but what's holding you back? Are you living together? You're not? What's holding you back? Are you planning to move in together in the next week?
What's holding you back?
And I think they handled it pretty well. They were both like, nothing. We're in a good place. We're living our lives. And Colton has moved
spending
to LA.
A lot of time together.
So they live near each other. They don't live together, but like they see each other often. They're in a relationship.
Yeah, they're just
is what we
dating.
Learned.
Like people.
Cassie says she's in love with her best friend.
I really hate the best friend trope.
Listen, some of us don't have other best friends. We just have to make do with our boyfriends. So she's clearly giving the hard like sell that she's in love. She's like, you all just watched a whole bunch of stuff that made you think I could not be in love with Colton. But guess what? I'm in love with him. He's my best friend. I don't regret anything. I'm so happy. I'm the happiest girl that ever was lucky, ever.
Because of Colton.
Because of
I
Colton.
Love him with my whole heart.
Because of you. So we see some footage of them, like, happy couple weekend style, you know, doing yoga together.
And then we saw footage of them watching footage of her talking to him, which was very meta.
I can't get over the fact that she was like, I want Colton to see my journal so that he knows how early I felt strong feelings for him. So I'm going to tape a video of myself reading from the journal, and then I'm going to play the video for him while we're sitting together instead of just reading the journal to him.
While we're sitting together being taped.
Right.
Like, there's so many layers.
Just read the journal to him.
But also, can we talk about the journal?
Oh, we can.
I couldn't stop laughing. I'm gonna be honest. When she said the sentence, I finally found someone that makes me not want to be selfish anymore, I lost my shit. That's how I'm going to tell people I love them from now on.
You should. I've been perfectly happy being selfish this whole time.
Yeah.
And that has changed now because
of you.
You are
the singular one person I have found that makes me not want to be selfish for you.
Yeah, I mean, like, fuck all of my friends, yeah. my family yeah. members.
No, you no. are, I am.
Just but you.
But you.
You. Well, you are now my best friend, so I yeah. have no yeah. other friends.
Her family probably I was mean, her best friend before, so they're. Gone?
Yeah.
I guess.
And also, there can only be one man in your life at a time. So her father has moved on.
Right. So. Yeah. He's out roaming, you know, roaming the fields.
They're still there. She's just selfish for them.
Right.
But for Colton, she's willing to not be selfish.
And she's like, I wrote that so early on. You wouldn't believe. And I just want you to know that I love you more than anything.
I am happy for them.
Me too.
I seem genuinely more relaxed and happy than a lot of the couples who get engaged.
That is
and then
true.
Out on that stage.
That is
it also
true.
Just made me think of how many journals there are out there in the world from every season of The Bachelor filled with entries that are like, Mrs. Colton Underwood. I love Colton Underwood.
Because what else do you have to write about?
I mean, right. That's the thing. You're not allowed to, like, do or watch, like, right. anything else. So I bet there's a lot of journaling going on.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're all journaling about, like, I don't know, sometimes I look at him and I feel like, I love you. And other times I'm like, oh, his hair is weird. You know, they're all just, like, analyzing their relationships
He's
in these
like,
journals.
Don't worry. I fixed the hair. It's very
it's worse
swoopy
now.
It's darker.
I fixed my hair. I made it bad. Yeah. It's like Liz Lemon in that episode of 30 Rock where she knows she's going to be on high def TV. And so
oh,
she
yes.
gets a million bad haircuts. That's what happened to Colton. And
I mean, he's really out here on Instagram defending his hair choices.
He's wrong.
He's like, I love it.
Well, Cassie's the only one who needs to be happy. So Colton back on stage is like, with everything that happened, I didn't get a chance to give you this. It's her final rose. And then Chris is like, you're getting a 7-night stay at the resort in Thailand. And everyone's like, a couple we don't personally know is going on vacation for free.
Good for them.
And then Chris is like, back to the tough stuff. Like, here's your candy. And now. Virginity. And Colton's like, no, we're going to keep that to ourselves. And Chris says, I'll take that as a yes.
Okay.
And now, air supply. What? I was at this point, like, open mouth, like, laughing with disbelief.
I had been laughing since
I was like, what?
You make me not want to be selfish for
happening?
You.
Like, what in God's name is going on? Why? Who? What?
I also, like, had that brief moment when he was, like, I thought he was going to say Aerosmith.
Which
that
would have
been exciting.
Something, but then that was not what came.
I mean, it was exciting to see Air Supply and what they look like. I didn't know what Air Supply
no,
was.
No, I didn't either.
I knew that it was some sort of musical group.
Yeah,
I just feel like they, like, didn't Seal perform at Jaden Tanner's wedding?
I think maybe, oh. yeah.
I'm like, this is who you got for an actual...
No, I feel this way almost every season of The Bachelor, that there must be better musical guests out there. There must be better musicians who love The Bachelor.
You would think. Yeah, but maybe they're not all that available, you know? You need someone who's, like, can take some time off from their Vegas residency, just, like, on their down day and come out to L.A. Or you need someone who... Like, their tour dates aren't getting all booked
up. I still just... I feel like it's the one place The Bachelor lets me down.
Everything else about
place.
It is perfect.
The only place.
I loved it. I was like, this show feels like it was assembled at the last minute by them just grabbing random index cards and scribbling, music? Question mark?
Because they were like,
sticking
fill
it into
air
the
time.
Itinerary.
How do we? Oh, air time, air supply. We
it literally supplied air time for them. Okay, so next, the new Bachelorette announcement. And was anyone surprised to hear that it was Hannah B?
No, I was. Emma had called it over text message with me last week, but I didn't.
There were rumors
her.
Going
there
around.
There were rumors, and also were just there? The women tell all performance. And I had a brief moment where I was like, Tayshia and Hannah G both put in really good showings. So they could change it at the last minute, mm-hmm. but it just felt like they need to film in like 3 days. So they're going to be Hannah B.
Yeah, they went with the one who can't complete a sentence on television. Hey. They're like, it's too late to pick someone who would do a good job.
Guys, you're correct, and yet I was kind of into it.
I felt like people feel watching The Office, like, is this funny or is this too painful?
I like The Office.
I was going to say, I went for funny. I think the lead-in of Air Supply also helped with my general feeling of, like, why not, guys?
Yeah. I was like, this is weird, and I kind of liked how aware she was that she was terrible at the whole thing.
Terrible.
It's just awful.
I was like, it made me miss Rachel because Rachel
miss Rachel.
Rachel got the five guys thrown at her, too, and was like handled it in a way I was like she was relatable and she was funny. She just wasn't so awkward that I wanted to crawl into my own mouth and swallow myself.
Rachel actually got it thrown at her. That was the first time they had done it.
Now
it
they do it every time.
Like, if she didn't expect that last night, that's on her.
Right.
Like,
but she does seem to like have no idea like how to handle. So she. We have to really roll out the Bachelorette announcement because, again, they're filling airtime. So Chris starts interviewing her, you know, how does it feel? And she's like, oh, man, you know.
I was yelling at my TV. I was like, speak. Learn to speak. Speak a sentence.
She does this thing a lot where she sort of starts a sentence and then pauses just long enough that the other person is like, I guess she's done, and starts talking. And then she's like, And then, so it's like, you've got to let that sentence go if you weren't going to finish it. You know, you can't constantly act like you're being interrupted when you're just not finishing your sentences. Something that I do, and it's very hard to watch other people do it. So he's like, in your wildest dreams, did you ever think this would happen? And she's like, oh, God, you know, I mean, you know. And then she's
the
like,
wildest ones.
Well, in my wildest dreams, yes.
Roll Tide.
She says that so many times.
We have to have a drinking game.
Oh God!
For the next season, I think it. My liver
is
gonna.
I do suspect that the Roll Tide stuff is going to be in episode one, and then it's,
I don't
they're
know.
Move
but it's
on.
Like
we
her
thought that
go-to.
About the virgin stuff too.
Yeah, no, like, but okay. My
like,
friend
literally,
said this
he
last
was
night.
Like, "You're from Alabama, right?" And she's like, "Yes, Roll Tide."
I mean, yes, that is extremely grating. I do think the virginity thing is a little bit different.
It has more of a storyline.
Yeah, it has more heft to it.
But the problem that I'm foreseeing is that she doesn't know how to speak. And Roll Tide is a crutch for her.
Yeah, it's what
that
she
is
goes
fair.
To.
So I think it's going to pop
up. It's the most
up.
Complete sentence that she gets out 60% of the time.
It's a command. Like, it's a complete sentence. Yeah.
Although
we're all very proud.
There is a lot of editing in this show, and they can reshoot things. So I think it's going to be a much more unfortunate situation for the crew than it is going to be for viewers.
I just am going to say, we have seen leads in the past who weren't that good at it, and it does show up in the show. Like,
notice. No, I think we'll notice that she's not great at it, but I'm saying it won't
because
be
also, a lot
as
of it,
unbelievably painful.
A lot of it, you can't reshoot. Like, the actual interactions on the dates, that stuff doesn't get reshoot.
All I'm saying is that we should have a collective national drinking game around the first Roll Tide.
I support it.
I just have to say that it also is a eternally funny to me because it's like the Crimson Tide, and that's like their football team, but also is that not what like your aunt called a period?
Yeah.
So every time she says
surfing the crimson wave, my favorite line from
Clueless. Every time she says Roll Tide in my brain, I'm also like the Crimson Tide.
It's what we all say when we're really hoping we're not pregnant.
Yeah, Roll Tide.
We actually see the phone call of Chris telling her she's the Bachelorette.
And in multiple angles.
I was
it goes on for so
outside
long.
Outside the phone.
I was like, I guess they must have been there, shooting an intro package, which they do with multiple people. Like, who was filming her? Filming.
Right.
There was a lot of, like, seeing people on video that were being
video.
In the
running. I'm sure they just, like, showed up to, like
doing an intro package
then. He's like, we've been talking about The Bachelorette. Are you serious about it? And she's like, I want it. I want it. And he's like, can you do it? And she's like, yeah.
I know I can.
And he's like, should we do it? And she just like starts crying so hard. She like can barely talk. She's like, are you asking me? And he's like, I'm telling me. And she's like, ah!
She is a pageant girl. She knows how to cry.
Oh, man.
She knows how to cry.
It just keeps going on. That's the sort of thing they've never usually show us. And I kind of wish they wouldn't. Like, it feels weird to see the moment that the person gets really excited that they're about to, like, become famous. Like, it's like, yes, like, I get to, like, go on TV and, like, get a lot more Instagram followers.
I felt like they were trying to show us more because they're trying to convince us this is a good idea.
And it didn't work.
Yeah, like, that felt to me like them being like, let's show a superhuman moment with her so that you'll all be really endeared to her.
I do find her kind of endearing.
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, it's what just, it is.
Like, I know The Bachelor is very white. But this choice really feels like they're leaning into their whiteness.
I will qualify that with saying that that is actually one of my greatest concerns. After the speaking.
And also she's 23.
And she's 24.
24 now. But, sorry, okay, she's first, a grown up. They're all grown ups.
They were all 20. All the people that seemed to be in the running were 23 or 24, which was unfortunate.
They could have gone with Tayshia.
I know. That would have been a better choice. Mm-hmm. I never thought that they were seriously considering her.
Ugh.
Which is unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
Because I think she's fantastic. But I don't think they were. I do think we'll see her and Hannah G on Paradise. And so I wasn't, like, super excited about any of the potential picks. And I also am very concerned that the show will feel even whiter. And we had made little baby steps moving away from that in the casting, and I'm concerned that
we took like so many. It feels like we took so many steps.
Right,
like,
I'm concerned that this will take a lot.
This feels like it will be the whitest. She gave a rose to the white boy who rapped.
I know.
Yeah, that was difficult.
It was a real red flag.
Difficult to watch.
Given that all of the choices were very white and very
except
young,
except for the black man.
But like, they're
no.
There were choices who weren't white. Like, it's not like Tayshia couldn't have been in the running.
Well, Tayshia, so, like, I mean, there's also, like, revealing Kirpa, in itself. Sydney.
Right. There were other people who could have been
on board with Kirpa.
I would have, too. I'm just saying that, all of the choices that were out there, I don't think anybody looked at the season and was like, there is one outstanding choice that everyone agrees on. But there were a lot of options, and they did seem to go with, like, what was the whitest of them.
And I feel like, a little bit, like, concerned. I don't know. It feels like they broke a lot of their own usual rules of, like, we're going to pick someone who's, like, old enough and ready enough to, like, definitely be ready to get engaged right away and, like, who is convincing in that. Someone who's, like, a good presenter. And they broke it. Why?
I don't understand. Hannah? I just don't understand.
Yeah. I don't quite get it. And I do think that as The Bachelor continues down this road towards just basically being a launching pad for influencers, I don't think that's going to help it diversify because, as we've discussed, like, women of color don't get as many followers
Instagram
outgoing on the show.
Yeah.
And they're not as likely to get picked as the lead, even if they wind up, you know,
in the top three.
And so, like, what incentives are there for them to even want to come on? Like,
I wouldn't
fault anyone for not even wanting to, you know, you couldn't pay me to go on the show if I were a woman of color.
I mean, you couldn't pay me to go on the show.
Even as a white woman, even as a white woman.
But especially.
So we're all cougars. So,
yeah. No one's paying me to go on the show.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And this is an issue that is going to continue to, you know, follow this show around. It's built into the structure. And we saw with Rachel's season that they had to actually put in effort to create a more diverse cast, to cast a black woman as the lead. And it seems like they sort of feel like, oh, we checked that box.
Yeah.
And now
we never have to think about it again.
And that's incredibly, incredibly disappointing.
Yeah. And
yet I'm still endeared to Hannah a little bit. And I don't know.
I can't make up my mind yet. I don't hate her.
I think I just identify with her behavior too much. And it's like self-loathing to loathe watching Hannah. Like, every behavior that I think I would have if you turned me into The Bachelorette, Hannah exhibits. Like, not knowing how to respond, like, getting really caught up in the meta weirdness of it and, like, giggling about it and then being like, oh, you're all watching me. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then being like, maybe I can play that off as cute. And instead everyone was like, oh, my God, just please hand out the rose. Like, it's painful because I'm like, I just want to be like, get it together, girl, like I do to myself. And she does. She meets her first five guys, couple boxy suits. Boxy suits are coming back, I guess.
I was not into it.
I definitely was like, did you get those from like a 1920s gangster store?
A zoot
like,
suit?
Yeah.
And so.
First we have Luke.
Yeah. He just says like a bunch of bachelor cliches. I can't wait to go on this adventure with her. And she's like, same. You're really good with words, which he isn't.
But better than her.
Better than
so
her.
I can see where the compliment came from.
Next comes Dustin.
He's wearing like a maroon suit, which I liked.
I liked that too.
He has champagne.
A nice touch.
Is he the one that said, this is the start of a beautiful beginning?
I think he
Because that also made me laugh for a really long time.
Yeah, that's what happens when you mash together a bunch of bachelor sentiments.
Yeah, he was like, this is to the start of a beautiful beginning.
Yes, I do think that his toast was purposely bad because it included the words blah, blah, blah. I think it was supposed to be a joke bad toast.
Ooh. Yes, I think so, too. But it was confusing.
You were like, was that a joke?
I don't know.
I feel like blah, blah, blah kind of gives the game away.
No,
I'm not saying it was a well-delivered joke.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
It
was,
it
in
didn't
fact,
land.
I think it was a joke, but it didn't land.
Next comes the white guy doing the terrible rap.
I think
that's Cam.
Cam.
And he says the rap includes something about how this is the only time an Aggie is going to say Roll Tide. And then he blows a handful of rose petals at her. We should have known that he would get the rose. Right,
oh, we did. Everyone I was watching with was like, well.
When he said Roll Tide.
That was it. That's all it takes.
No, that's all it takes.
But seriously, you know, some white people just love novelty raps.
There's no getting around it.
It
would have been the whitest thing I'd seen all season if I hadn't seen Hannah G's rap.
Right.
Connor is next. He seems to be age appropriate.
He's
quite cute.
He's 24. He's the same age as Hannah, but we're not used to seeing someone the same age as Hannah.
I know. Is he 12?
He looks so youthful.
But I thought he was.
It's great.
A little adorable.
Everyone should consider that. You know, the highest satisfaction rate for marriage is with someone exactly the same age as you are, down to the day, if possible.
Oh, wow. And I got to start.
Oops.
Yeah. I mean, I'm screwed. So he got her a bedazzled stool. He's very tall to, like, step on so that they can see eye to eye. I thought it was sort of cute.
I did. I also just, like, weirdly, something about, like, the image of him then just, like, carrying that bedazzled stool off the stage with him just really amused me.
Yeah.
I will carry this stool
everywhere. I was there for it.
And next, another Luke comes out.
Luke S. Who knows what the other initial is?
Straight up, for half a second, thought was Nick Viall.
He really looks like a poor man's
Nick Viall.
He looks like
a sort of squashed Nick Viall.
Yeah, I feel like, especially like from a distance, like the long shot, I literally out loud went, no!
Nick would never wear a boxy,
Nick would not wear
a powder blue windowpane suit.
No,
I quickly realized it wasn't. But there was like 5 seconds where I was like, is he back again?
He was like, only for you, Hannah B. So Luke says, I know you're from Alabama, and I don't go down south often, but for you, I'd go down anytime.
Okay, did anyone else notice that he seemed to have somewhat of a southern accent, which made this dirty joke feel a little weirder?
But
I'm like, are you from the south?
Also, did anyone else notice that that joke implies I don't usually pleasure women?
Yes. not a point in his favor.
I am not usually into pleasuring women.
I'm the special
one.
But
I'll make an exception.
Yeah. Maybe.
I'm like, also, I would like you to have had some experience with going down on a woman before you tried on me. I don't need to be your first.
Like, it was a terrible innuendo joke, but then also when you thought about it, you were like, that's a terrible thing to admit.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably assuming that just him doing it at all is a gift.
Right.
You know, well, it's not. Yeah. We can't expect experience or, like, talent in that era.
He's just really magnanimous. He's like, I will head down there as a favor.
And those are the five. Papa Chris is concerned by that last joke, but unfortunately, Luke's
here.
Because
I think Chris put two and two together. That means he doesn't usually pleasure women.
I know. Chris is like, young man, let me tell you something about life.
And then she makes a joke that she'd give out a rose right now. And Chris is like, we got 10 more minutes. Let's do it.
Yeah, what was their plan for the last 10 minutes if that didn't work out?
I don't know.
So she...
more air supply.
She also eats up about 2 full minutes of airtime winding herself up to giving out this rose.
This was so painful.
No, I was literally like in a room of people out loud going, just say a name. Just say same. Any
She literally says like, y'all are really cool, but I'm going to give it to someone who... And then trails off for so long that finally Chris is like, so why don't you just... And she's like, yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And it's like, oh, you just started that sentence and had no idea how to end it.
I feel like this next season, like, there is a possibility that a full half of the episode will just be her trying to get names out at a rose ceremony.
They can cut all of that out, thankfully. They couldn't do it last night.
They also have a director for that, like, cues them and tells them which name to say. So.
No, this would be
but
hard.
They've dealt with a lot of people. I don't know if they've ever dealt with someone who eats up time like Hannah. To be.
Incredible. She's so nervous that she giggles for like 30 seconds before she begins.
She makes one good joke.
She
which
makes
is,
a couple good jokes.
This is the hardest decision I've made all season, which I thought was cute.
And she says, I can't wait to see all the ones who don't get a rose back at the mansion and try harder this time.
I like that too.
Yeah, that was good.
So like if we can just get her rolling
That's
like that.
That's the thing. Right, I would have appreciated those jokes more if it hadn't been a minute and a half of humming and hawing before they came.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We see when she's relaxed that she does have a personality and she can be like weird and funny. So hopefully she'll warm up.
She was a pageant girl, so you feel like there must be like a poise and presentability
in there
somewhere.
I was saying this is why Kaylin did much better in the pageants than she did.
Yeah, she wasn't like the first runner-up or anything.
Yeah, but she still made it to like the national, right? She still won her state.
True.
Yeah. She still won Alabama. And you know there have to be a lot of blonde pageant girls in Alabama.
Those viral clips of women who get up there and are asked a question during a pageant and cannot get a sentence out.
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
So she finally gives the rose. She's like, I'm not sure when to pick up the rose. Ha ha. I don't know what I'm doing. Don't laugh. No one laugh. And finally is like, Cam, I really liked how you pumped up the jams. And then she starts putting on his lapel rose. Finally gets it on, and then he's like, yes, I'll accept this rose. And she's like, oh, my God, I forgot to ask. I have to do it all again. So she starts over, asks him about the rose, and then puts it back on. I really don't know how they would have filled out this episode without
No, I don't know what
this.
Their plan was. Maybe they just had, like, met her and was like, I think if we introduce her to five guys, we're going to have 20 minutes of material.
So they finally, it's over. They pan out over the crowd. Hannah's waving. She says, I'm waving. And then Chris leans in to say something to her. And she's like, oh, yes, I'm talking. And then she says something else. And she's like, oh, it's still rolling.
Roll tide? Is the tide still rolling?
Everything is still rolling.
Crimson tide.
And we're just rolling right on out of this season. Can't wait to see how this all goes down.
Genuine question. So Cam, who got a rose, is he safe on the first night of the season?
No, he shows up with a rose. I can't wait for him to show up and be like, I have a rose already.
Rose.
Get wasted and like jump in a pool.
Yeah.
I'm like psyched to see how this is going to affect his mindset going into night one.
Certainly he'll be overconfident and I cannot wait.
He's going to be the guy who's like, I have a target on my back.
Yeah. I'm just, like, so deeply curious to see what this season will be.
Me too.
I feel like for the first time in a long time, I'm actually genuinely, like, I don't know. Because I also do feel like Hannah came close to losing her shit a couple of times this season of The Bachelor.
You know what's happened? I'm so well-trained by Colton season that I thought you were going to say losing her virginity. I was like, what else does a person lose?
Wow. We need this next month and a half off so you can, like, untrain
your brain. Yeah, we can all just forget the word virginity and virgin for just, like, a month. They just need to never hear those words again.
No, it's true. She's someone who clearly reacts to pressure sometimes by really spiraling out.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit worried about, like, we've seen the hardest of strongest of people kind of like get brought down to an emotional place by being the bachelor or bachelorette. And I'm a little bit worried that like Hannah Beast is gonna
be baseline is just
Hannah Beast comes out. I want to see her kicking some guys out.
Me too.
But I also just like I don't know. I just don't know what it's gonna be.
This could go so many ways. And the thing is, like, some emotional instability can be a good thing for the show or it can be a bad thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, what brand of weirdness and awkwardness and emotional instability are we going to get? And who can say?
I wonder if they were just, like, Colton was a little, like, wobbly and he ended up doing this amazing dramatic thing for the show. Let's lean into that. See what unpredictable thing
they're just
will
getting
happen.
Bored.
I mean, we all need change, you know, on some level to keep our interest up. And
they're like, we could go in the direction of more diversity and mature people.
No, or... no definitely no. not. No one really wants maturity. I can't wait to see what happens, but we will have to wait until May. I'm thinking.
Yes.
Usually The Bachelorette is back in May, and hopefully we'll be here to check in during the off season with one or two bonus episodes at our producer Nick's discretion.
Nick is like, thank God we're done.
But it's been such a joy recapping this season. Erin, thank you so much for joining us for this finale.
Thank you so much for having me to
come
talk
back
about
anytime.
This. Oh, you know I will.
You'll have to come back for Hannah Beast.
I will. I'm excited / terrified.
All right. So this wasn't, I would say, a flawless episode, but we are going to skip Feminism Fails today because there was so much else to talk about. All in all, it was pretty refreshing to see Colton and Cassie and their relationship arc by having a nice, pretty equal conversation about what they want to do and then move forward with that. And I think that's actually sort of refreshing, and I hope we see more of it in the future. So let's end with like a nice little like kudos for that.
Yeah, I hope they are very, very happy. And I like that Colton was the one who did the moving. So there's that.
I mean, when you live in LA, guys will move to be near you. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guests this week, Erin Dark, and to our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a moment of any of our bonus episodes. And of course, when we're back for Hannah Beast's recaps. And also, give us a 5-star rating and review. You can also give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod.
And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
We'll be back in May. And who knows, maybe sometime before then.
Keep an eye out. Roll Tide.